you cover a song, like really, really super popular song, and when you do things like the Beatles, like you are like, okay, all right, you're doing a Beatles song. Let me hear you. Let me hear you pull. Like, you got to pull that off, man. You are being super scrutinized at that point. So
it's so true.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and what is going on? And welcome to a brand new episode of Chris and Amanda's Song Swap Showdown. We are, of course, super excited to be hanging out with all of you today, and we appreciate all of you for wanting to spend just a little bit of your precious time with us today as Amanda and I swap songs with each other, talk about them, rate them, review them, gab a lot. So we appreciate the time that you give us to hear us talk about that and all the interaction, of course. So if you are watching this live, please feel free to play along, comment. Even after the show's done, you can still comment, especially on YouTube for sure, because the comment section is always lively on the Song Swap Show on YouTube channel. Never a shortage of interesting comments. For sure.
Agreed.
Yeah. If this is your first time checking out Song Swap Showdown, well, hey, welcome. How the show typically works is Amanda and I each swap three songs with each other that we don't think the other has heard before. And those songs are chosen by a theme that is also chosen by spinning the Wheel of Themes at the end of every single show. The Wheel of Themes is a bunch of themes chosen from us, from our community, from all of you. And we throw them on the wheel, we spin at the end of the show, and whatever it lands on is what gets picked for the following week's show. So, this week, the Wheel of Themes landed on unplugged versions of popular songs. So, we are super excited to dive into those. And by the way, we also have a very complicated rating system here, too, that the songs are rated on. So, Amanda and I will rate and review these songs on a scale of 1 to 5 records, with 1 being a dumpster fire. That's right. Launch it into the sun, never to be heard again by anybody. Although I guess it's a little harsh considering somebody out there may like that song. It's a one record by us.
Unlikely, but maybe.
Right. I or you will never need to hear it again. Correct. Ever. That is a one record song. 5 record song, though, however, is, as we like to say, heavenly music to our ears. That's right. The angels have come down and blown their trumpets, and out of that came the song. That's 5 records. That's a 5 record song. So, very complicated rating system, very subjective. You just, you know, what goes on inside of our brains to get to that ratings is a mystery to man. So, once again, we want to welcome everybody. If you're watching us on the live feed, as we said, please feel free to comment or play along as we go. As we talk about these songs, we always try to play a quick little sample of them. So let us know what you think on a scale of 1 to 5 records. Do you agree with our rating? How would you rate it? Of course, all the songs too can also be heard on our Spotify playlist, which you can get access to by using the link in the notes here or scanning that QR code on the screen. And so Amanda and I have curated every single song that we've talked about this season onto a Spotify playlist. So that way you can always go back and listen to the full versions of these songs and enjoy them and give us your ratings. 1 to 5 records. We want to know. How do you feel about them? So, all right. So let's dive in. Today's theme, unplugged versions of popular songs.
Correct.
So that means mostly these are cover versions. It couldn't have been the original version of the song wasn't like it's not an artist doing their song originally as an acoustic song. Like, correct, it was a popular song that then someone took and covered and did an unplugged version, or the artists themselves did an unplugged version of one of their songs. So as an example, Eric Clapton, when he did Layla, he took a Derek and the Dominoes song, which he wrote as Derek and the Dominoes, but it was in a way different version with Duane Allman, like electric, full band, all that, and then stripped it down and actually rearranged it into Layla, right? So that's an example. I can't believe I just had to explain this, but that's an example of an unplugged song. So I just want everybody to kind of, I just want to set the parameters here. And that's what we're working with this week.
And there are some obvious ones that maybe did not make our list this week, but that is because part of the show is, Chris, that I also like to add the element of let's swap songs that we haven't heard before. So yeah. I send Chris some that I really hope he hasn't heard before to expose him to new music. Chris does the same for me. And in doing so, we have really expanded our musical love and reach. And I mean, we've grown so much in the last three seasons.
We really have. We really have. And I would say that I have definitely become much more open to a lot more music that I currently wasn't listening to or was my go-to choice. Mm-hmm. And I'd say the same for you.
I can say my ears have stopped bleeding.
Yeah, I would say the days of episode one where you're like, oh my God, my ears are bleeding. And you what gave a that? One record to Killswitch Engage. Now you've gotten a little bit more.
Indeed.
You're a little more seasoned. You listen to things a little differently.
So I'm very much more open-minded, mm-hmm. and I love it.
Right.
And our community has also helped us get there because we get so many amazing suggestions on a weekly basis from our community, and we are so grateful. And we do listen to them. They may not always make the list, but we listen.
Yeah, we absolutely do. We absolutely do. And speaking of the community, I do want to share some of the suggestions because we actually got a lot of really good suggestions. And to your point, Amanda, a lot of these are really great picks, and some of them were like, I think Amanda's heard these before.
Exactly.
So and it's tough because we are talking about popular songs. So when we talk about popular songs, chances are we've heard them, but maybe we haven't heard these versions. And that's also the other aspect of it. So a lot of great suggestions this week. So I'm just going to run down some of the really cool suggestions, and I know we got some stuff in the comments too I want to get to. But my sister Stephanie McKay put out there, she put Foo Fighters Everlong, all of Nirvana Unplugged, and then Chris Cornell's version of Patience. So really great versions of that. James Scott checking in from Across the Pond podcast with Brian Adams, I'll Always Be Right There For You, REM, Losing My Religion, John Mayer, Free Fallen, Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven, which I think was a writing acoustic song, but I'll allow the suggestion. I'll allow it. Alanis Morissette's doing her version of Ironic, which I've heard, which is a great unplugged version.
She's so great.
And Lewis Capaldi, Someone You Loved. Chris Carr checked in with Stone Temple Pilots, Plush, Foo Fighters, Times Like These, Cranberry Zombie, Seven Dust, Angel Sun, Anthrax, Breathing Lightning, and Alice in Chains, Down in a Hole. We also got Tony with NFB from Anthrax. Cindy checking in with Like Suicide by Soundgarden. Yeah, that is a wonderful version of that song. Tina checking in with Hide Your Love Away by Eddie Vedder. Just Breathe by Eddie Vedder. More Than Words, Extreme, Patience, Chris Cornell, Hallelujah, all versions. and all of Bon Jovi's Unplugged from 2006 or 2007.
fair. Yeah.
Very fair. So a lot of great suggestions. And over here in the chat, we had our buddy from Australia, Ian, checking in. And of course, now that there's the time change here in the United States, Ian,
sad about
is, it is too late for Ian to stay up. He was previously trying to stay up, but it's too late for him. So he catches it on the repeats on demand and on replay. So Ian's saying for Amanda, he's choosing Dami I Am, doing Jolene.
That was a close contender.
Flame Trees, Katie Noonan, which is a Cold Chisel song. And Even When I'm Sleeping, Megan Washington, Leonardo's Bride song. So these are Australian artists, or I'm going to go with international artists, just there in case they're not Australian.
There we go.
And then for Chris, he's saying Brother, Matt Corby original, Black Cow, Carice Eden original, and Battle Scars, Guy Sebastian original. So there you go. And then Dave Mattingly, of course, New Wave Dave, VIP, checking in. And he is never short for amazing suggestions. His picks for Amanda are Johnny Cash's version of Rusty Cage, Taj Mahal's Give Me Shelter. Ooh, I don't think I've ever heard of that version. I'll have to check it out. And Yael Naim Toxic. I had a trouble. Y'all. And then picks for Chris. Chumbawamba, Bank Robber, Depeche Mode, Personal Jesus. Great version of that song. I love that version. And Magnetic Fields, The Book of Love. Great suggestions, Dave. Love them as usual. Coming in with some clutch playlist suggestions. Yeah. So, all right, Amanda. We've got a great playlist, I think, for each other. All lined up and ready to go. So, I think I went first last week.
I don't remember. But if you want me to go to first,
why don't you kick us off here?
I am happy to go first. Kick us off. Thank you, Chris Baglia. So Chris's first song to me, the acoustic version of Wonderwall by Ryan Adams.
Oh yeah.
And I will say, I did a little like you did on, a little on Ryan Adams. Yep. And on Spotify, this is his most listened to song that is uploaded on there by more than double. It's like 100 million downloads.
Yeah. Yeah. This is definitely a very popular one on the Spotify.
In this, for those who don't know this song, this is most popularly sung by Oasis.
Oh, yes.
Back in the day. And so I have a little bit of a, this was core years for me growing up. Core years. So I can't give you like one memory that's attached to this song in particular. It's just kind of like it was played so often and everywhere that I can't help but like automatically default back into that time of younger Amanda. Over 20 years ago, way back in the day, Baby Manda. And you know, I really like the original version. However, this version is not bad.
No, it's what I really enjoy about this version is that it's basically Ryan Adams, who I love. I think Ryan Adams is just phenomenal. He's such a great artist. He's put out such great music over the years. And what I love about what he did with this is he rearranged the song. So, and I think that that is just super cool. Like, I like that when I always love when an artist takes a very popular song like Wonderwall.
Yeah.
I mean, with a huge, ginormous hit to this day, still a ginormous hit. And you could, once again, you just said about Spotify, it's not even his song.
Yeah.
But it's still one of his most popular songs. But I like how he took a song and kind of made it his own in the sense when he rearranged it a bit. And I think it's very cool. And I think when artists can do that and do it really well, it becomes like their song.
Sure.
And it's even gotten to a point where when Noel Gallagher, who originally wrote the song for Oasis, when he plays this song live, when he plays the Ryan Adams version because he loves the arrangement so much. And I think that's great. And I've seen I love Oasis, one of my favorite bands of all time. And I've seen them, fortunately been able to see them quite a few times when they've come here in the States. Hasn't been years because they're broken up. But the last couple times that I saw Noel, he would just come out, sit on a stool with the guitar, and he would play the Ryan Adams arrangement of Wonderwall. I think it's very cool. It sounds great.
So let me, okay, just for clarifications for those who might not know, not pointing any fingers, but to write or to perform rather a cover version of a very popular song. Do you have to like pay for that? Do you have to like, what is the logistics of that?
So you have to pay basically for publishing rights, you know, so you have to, or licensing. So there is something that, I mean, you could, so for instance, like when cover bands play at a bar, like the bar has to pay basically a fee to like ASCAP and BMI that basically covers, because any version of a song that's played, whether it's a cover or the recorded version, like it has to be covered by licensing and all that. So those venues, those bars and all that kind of have that. They're supposed to have that. So for instance, Ryan Adams, he could play it at a venue. He could play it and that's fine. But like the minute he goes to record it and put it out to make money, he now has to get permission from the artist to actually do that. So it's the publishing. He has to get permission from a publisher to do that, because then any money that's made is then actually goes to Noel Gallagher. Now he or Oasis, whoever owns the publishing on that song.
Gotcha.
And sometimes, you know, they will like, sometimes it depends, like they'll split royalty fees, things like that. And I don't know now with the case of Ryan Adams, I don't know, because he did rearrange it. So maybe there's a split there, or, you know, maybe it's an 80-20. I don't know. I don't know the business of that from that standpoint, but typically, yeah, the artist, the person who does the cover then has to pay publishing fees to
fair enough
royalty checks to the to the owner of that song.
So many small artists do it. So I just was curious,
because it's a great way to put yourself on the map. Like Because sure. You could say, well, we'll get really popular with this song and it'll open the doors. This is why you see a lot of that on TikTok, is that
yes.
There's so many bands have gotten over because of they did a cover version of XYZ. You know, they took a Kelly Clarkson song and made it like punk and hardcore and metal. Mm-hmm. And it got like a bajillion views. And now people are like, oh, that band's cool. Let mm-hmm. me listen to the rest of their catalog. And then so on and so forth. So a lot of times it's a calculated marketing
sure.
Investment to get new fans to the band and to kind of get them over. So that does happen quite a bit. Ryan Adams also did, which I also think is very cool, is that he did Taylor Swift's 1989. Yeah. He redid the entire record from start to finish, Ryan Adams style. I like it. I think he did a great job.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, talk about riding on the coattails of something that's super popular. Just
oh like my gosh, that. Yeah.
Especially with a guy version of it, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of male Swifties out there.
Oh, 100%.
Like girl 100%. Dads, you know, that can't help but kind of dig some of the yeah. toe tapping that her music creates.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, definitely. I mean, Taylor Swift, I know, mostly associated with a lot of the female side sure. of things. But yeah, she is, I think, you know, she's such a huge star. She's sort of universal.
Extremely.
Yeah.
Extremely. All right. And, you know, one fun thing about this song is the writer, whoever the Oasis guy is, he wrote
Noel Gallagher.
Thank you. Thank you. That it was about his girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
but it ended up not being about his girlfriend. But he said the way that the media took, like, it just spread like wildfire that it was. And how do you tell your then girlfriend that – and then wife, because he's married her, that it wasn't about her. And then they got a divorce and it was like, nah, it's not really. It wasn't about her. It was something completely different. Like, I can't imagine. Like, you run, I guess, with a story that gets you the best press.
You just go, you know. Hey, listen, there's no such thing as bad press, right? So
absolutely.
People are talking about you and your music, then, you know, you've done something good.
Absolutely. That's what happens to us every week.
Yeah. Every week.
Every week. So do we want to cue up a little bit of this song by Mr. Ryan Adams
before I give my rating? Let's play a little bit of Wonderwall by Ryan Adams here. Let's go. Let's hear a little bit of this.
And you know what I really like is his name is so basic. Ryan Adams.
Like, even right away, it just starts off like so different and cool.
It's very relaxed.
Just not what you're expecting.
No.
Today's gonna be the day that they're gonna give it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
Like, just completely changes the whole phrasing and everything, you know? It's so cool.
Backbeat, the wood is on the street, that the fire in your heart is out.
And I'm
sure you've heard it all before.
Mentally came in and said he can't stand Oasis, but
I don't believe that
the Mike Flowers Pop Sloan version of Wonderwall is fairly good, and I would put this in the same category, that lounge sound.
Yeah, I love the way Riot Act, like, makes it sound so ghostly.
Yeah. Which, to me, your next song is also very ghostly.
There are many things that I'd like to say to you, but I don't know how.
Yeah, just really, really great version of this. And it's just very interesting, too. Like, once again, I love when an artist can do it well. And mm-hmm. Because I've also heard a lot of covers where an artist will try to rearrange it. And the song loses something.
Sure.
And they're just trying too hard and mm-hmm. it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I see what you guys are trying to do, but you really missed the mark on it. And, you know, and I think where this works is like he rearranges it just enough to make it just different, to make it interesting, but still you hear the song, like you still know mm-hmm. it's Wonderwall, you know? And that's still absolutely. Very identifiable. So I've always loved this version, and so that's why it is on my playlist this week to you.
It's a great version.
Yes.
So where do I rate this?
So Amanda, where do you rate Ryan Adams' version of Wonderwall on a scale of 1 to 5 records?
I hope you're not disappointed, because I feel like I can't quite, because overall, like, I have attachment to this song, but it's not like I love the song. Like, I really enjoy it. Sure. And so let's remember and remind our viewers and listeners that 3 is an average. Like, hey, it's a good song.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not awful. It's middle of the road.
It's middle of the road. So with that being said, I'm going to nestle this one in like at a 3.8. Like, it's good. Okay. It's above average, but it's not in that 4 range.
Okay. All right. Well, very good then. 3.8. All right. Amanda has spoken.
Yes, I have.
that's another graphic I'll be making soon. Amanda has spoken. A 3.8 for Oasis's version, or sorry, the Ryan Adams version of the Oasis song, Wonderwall. So once again, check out that full version. You can head over to our Spotify playlist, once again, by using the link in the notes or scanning at you a little QR code on screen if you're watching us. To get access right to our playlist. So, all right, checking in with some quick comments here. Yes, good morning, Mark Ronick. Morning. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Really appreciate you, buddy. Love Mark the best. I spend every morning with Mark inside Clubhouse. Love it. And you already got to Dave's comment. Yeah, sadly, I can't stand Oasis, but Mike Flower's Pop Lounge version of Wonderwall is fairly good. You know, I know, Dave, Oasis is a band that people have a love-hate relationship with. I happen to be on the love side of things, and, you know, and it's okay. I get it. They're not an easy band as far as a lot of their antics go, and, you know, they're a band that a lot of people have really called out over the years, but man, I love Oasis's music, and they're always great live. So, all right, so moving on here, we've got a lot more picks to go. So I'm going to move into Amanda's first song, That Girl's first song.
That Girl.
And this was a version of a song that I had actually seen come up on a lot of searches, but I'd never actually sat and actually listened to until now that you put it on the playlist. So I've seen it come up quite a bit, though. So this is Katie Shaw's version of Brandy, You're a Fine Girl. Of course, the Looking Glass hit from 1972, which charted number one on Billboard. So everybody knows this song. I mean, I think we even covered this our Yacht Rock episode of our show. And I mean, this is a song that, like, I gotta feel like a lot. I mean, I definitely, you know, you and I know it, you know, and I listen to Yacht Rock on Sirius XM. Yes, I love that channel. The Yacht Rock playlists on Spotify. This is a staple Yacht Rock song for sure. Yes. And I really enjoyed her version, which was very cool. Definitely a very, if I had to label it as anything, very cute version. And Diddy-esque of it. But, you know, I didn't know much about Katie Shaw prior to this. So I did a little digging here, and actually Spotify had a nice little bit write up about Brandy. I'm sorry, Katie. The song's Brandy. Katie Shaw got her start in the underground in the New York City subway. So, and I love that right away, because, you know, anybody that's ever had an opportunity to visit New York, or, you know, I know people sometimes when you're living in New York, you kind of become immune to it. But I got to tell you, in some of the subways, there are just amazingly talented artists and musicians in the subways performing music. And so I can't say I've seen or ever saw Katie Shaw. Very possible I walked by her at some point. Who knows? But I do love that her start was in the New York City subways. And she plays basically ukulele. She played upbeat ukulele for Spare Change until her producer and collaborator, Jay Levine, discovered her playing on the 23rd Street Station southbound platform on the F&M line. She released her debut EP, Clouds, in February of 2013. And also then featured, she then released the Brooklyn EP featuring her hits, Human Contact and Night Goes Slow. So that, those were some of her songs. And then she had her Christmas song, which I don't know if you're familiar with.
No, I'm not.
But she had her Christmas song, Cuddle Up. Cuddle Up. So you're going to have to check that out. So that is her, Christmas song. So
Cuddle Up.
You're going to have to check that out. So Katie Shaw, I really liked her version, though. It's very cute, very cute. So let me play a little bit of this, because I think it's a I think a lot of people are going to be like, wow, that's, I mean, when you go from Looking Glass's full band 1970s version to this cute little ukulele version being played, I can picture it right now, like listen to the song, like walking down the subway and seeing, like, you know, her playing with her little ukulele. It's definitely an image that if you've been in New York, you know a lot. So let's play a little bit of this. But it's a very cute version.
There's a port.
She's got a great voice.
On a western bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town.
It's so like nice to hear the stripped down version of this song, though.
Just so chill.
Yeah.
She serves them whiskey and wine. The sailors say, Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you'll be.
Great song, man.
Yeah, your eyes.
I just always feel like you could hear the lyrics so much better. Yeah.
Like,
Brandy.
Like, it's just very. Very cool version of the song. I still feel like I have yacht vibes for sure.
Extremely so.
And what I do like about this too is like, and a lot of times when you get to these unplugged versions, you strip down versions of these songs, like you're really hearing like the beginning of that song, like how that song probably started out, because you know, all the instrumentation and the produce, like that all comes later. Most songs are really written like pretty much like this. Like, here's a demo version, here's a few phrases, whether it's on piano or even just the hum of a melody, you know, like they start out in such like a raw state, and then what they become through, you know, everybody's contributions and the producing and the recording and all that. But like, when I always love hearing, because you are actually really hearing a lot of times the true version of that song to a point.
So true. I never thought of it like that.
Going back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To the conception of that song.
Right. Exactly. So I really like this version. I thought it was fun. It's very cute. You know, if you say, well, which version you prefer, it's tough because they're such different and such different feels. Yeah. Although I do, once again, I like how it still has that loungy yacht rock feel to it. But I'm very much like you. Like, I'm not sure I'm going to give it, I can give it a 4 records, but it's not a 3 either. Like, because I feel like it's not middle of the road. I really like the rendition. I think it's cute. I really feel like it's going to grow on me a lot, because sometimes too, like sometimes, I mean, as much as I kind of like ukulele, sometimes I feel like a lot of that there was a gigantic ukulele explosion of like music for a little bit, and everything was a ukulele version of everything. And it got to be like, all right, enough with the ukulele versions of, I mean, it's cool, but it starts all sounding the same after a while. But I think she did a really good job when she did this version of that and converted it over. So, with all that being said, I'm very much like you with my record rating on this one. I'm in the same league here. So I am also going to give it a 3.8. I think just shy of a 4 record. Okay. Just shy of a 4 record. But to put it at a 3.5 or 3.6, I think it's a lot better than that. So like I said, it's just that like weird purgatory state. But I think it's going to be, you know, where I would actually put this song too, now that I think about it, because we do talk about it. In fact, that Thanksgiving is around the corner, and we always talk about our Thanksgiving playlists, you know, music that we have on while we're cooking and prepping, and the music we have when people are over, you know, eating dinner. This fits right in with a Thanksgiving playlist, like 100%.
Agreed. Yeah. Very, very good. So we got some comments coming in.
Oh yeah. We got some comments. Thank you. All right. So James Scott. Woot 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 woot. checking in from Scotland with the Across the Pond podcast. James Scott, what's up, party people? What is up, James Scott? Thanks for coming. Mark Ronick saying he's digging that version.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, I thought you might, Mark. I know this is kind of like right in your pocket of a lot of things you enjoy listening to. So I thought you would dig it. And then Dave Mattingly coming in with, I can't get enough ukuleles. My favorite band, Ed's redeeming quality, uses bongos, ukulele, and violin. That's got to be an interesting sound.
To Chris's point, like when it's similar to, you know, Katie's, I think when it's in your blood and it's in your create, like the beginning of your story, it's different. When I think you were kind of like making point of the opportunistic people who took advantage of it, because ukulele was very popular for a while. And I think it still is, but I love the sound of a ukulele. I don't disagree. And Marcus at one point was trying to learn it. I thought it was the most precious thing in the world.
Yeah, I actually have my ukulele up there.
Do you remember one of our first like reels and TikToks were of us doing the ukulele?
Yeah, doing a ukulele. So
you might have to pull that baby out of the box.
I still pick that ukulele up. I do enjoy playing it. But yeah, Dave, going, I'm gonna check into more Katie. I think you should. Katie Shaw. I did too, Dave. I started listening to some of these other songs. Mm-hmm. The Christmas song, I gotta hear. So I'm interested in checking out the Christmas song. So you never know. That may wind up jumping onto one of our Christmas shows coming up, holiday shows coming up shortly.
And you know what's hard about these ratings too is because we're rating it to some degree against the original.
It's tough. And they're big songs.
Yes.
Popular songs.
That was part of the requirement for this theme this week. So, I mean, we have to rate appropriately for that. Where if I would have handed it to you a different week, it might, I don't know, maybe it would land different. But I'm liking it. So I receive your 3.8. Thank you. We're neck to neck. And your second song to me, sir.
Yes.
Was Wicked Game by Stone Sour. Originally by Chris Isaak.
Yes.
Very popular.
Super popular song. And I always loved that song. I actually still have somewhere the cassette single of the song. Yeah. And what a great music video, too. Actually, I think we have to do a music video. We should do a music video reaction video to Wicked Game at some time. It's been a long time since I've watched that video, but it's a very, very sensual video. Like, you know,
song
and the song itself. So, all right. So, Amanda, we all know the original version.
Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking of Stone Sour's version?
I will say this was a treat because when you sent it to me, it had been quite some time since I had listened to the original. Mm-hmm. It just had not been on my player at all. Like it hadn't been on my playlist for whatever reason. It wasn't recommended listen. So when you sent it to me, I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot how much I really, really enjoyed this song. Mm. It's kind of got that haunting sound to it a little bit. And I mean, it was written as if it was a booty call. Like the story behind it was a booty call.
Yeah, I mean it. I mean, you get the feeling that it's definitely something like that.
Songfacts.com confirms this, right? And so,
there you go.
Let me tell you, a girl called him up, the original,
the OG version.
The OG version, Chris Isaak. A girl called him up and was like, hey, I'm coming over. And that man, within like 5 minutes, wrote this song because he had business to do.
Go on. I got a hit song on my hands.
And so I guess when the girl came over, she was disappointed because he was just overly excited about have written a hit. He knew it was going to be a hit. And so he was really excited about that versus her being over.
For a little
I appreciated this song because it took me down that like winding road of like why does it sound so sensual and a little bit haunting or just interesting. So this version though is very, in my opinion, very close to the original.
They did a really good job. It's pretty much a note for note almost, you would say, of the original.
I would agree. And because I like the original so much, I did appreciate that. Now, I also was like, I'd like to see the liberty they may have taken and switching it up a little bit. But also, would I have been offended by that? I don't know.
Once again, the risk, and we just talked about the Ryan Adams, it's a risk, I think, and I'm not saying it's bad, but it's definitely risky when you go in and you're going to rearrange a song and try to put like your stamp on it a bit because it could really backfire in a not great way, or it could pay off dividends like it did with Ryan Adams. So I feel like it's a very fine line.
It's a roll of the dice.
You're walking. Yeah, it really is. It really is because you just don't know how people are going to respond.
Yeah, and to this one, I just don't know if you took away, stripping it down to all natural is one thing. Changing it up, like, I don't know. So I feel like if we were talking the original version, yeah, I'm probably going to give the original version a 5 record.
Yeah, I would agree. It is a perfect song to me.
I agree.
You know, it's very well done. And you can't help but not think that, like, man, what would Roy Orbison have done with a song like that? Like, ooh, his voice on A Wicked Game, like, if he had written that or covered it, like, man, what a great version that would have been. Anyway, we'll never get that. But, hey, definitely very interesting. But I do always think about Roy Orbison. Yeah, we might get an AI Roy Orbison. But I do think about that when I hear this song. I immediately think of Roy Orbison all the time, because Roy could hit those, like, that high, you know, like, he was always able to kind of do that, like, rockabilly, like, yeah, as Dave is saying, like, yodeling or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you would call it, like, but, you know, so I always think of that.
And, you know, I could have swore Dwight Yoakam, speaking of yodeling, did a version of this.
Ooh.
And I looked far and wide yesterday.
Yeah.
And I could not find it. And I was like, why did I feel like he did
a version of it? Was it on YouTube, maybe?
Maybe. I'll have to dig a little bit deeper and look. Because I could have swore that I heard a version of Dwight Yoakam. And I'm like, why can't I find this? So I might have just, to the yodeling effect, just envisioned it and dreamed it at one point. Because I do love Dwight Yoakam.
You do. And so, by the way, quick, and I'm sure since you probably looked this up, but Stone Sour, real quick, for those of you listening, if you don't know who Stone Sour is. So Stone Sour is the side project band of Corey Taylor from Slipknot. So the vocalist from Slipknot, this is his band. So this is him singing. Is his sort of like more hard rock band, as opposed to Slipknot being like full on like metal. This is like just a harder rock band where he can kind of explore that. And listen, I like Slipknot way more. There are some Stone Sour stuff I do like, but in this version in particular, and I also feel like this really shows off. I think Corey Taylor's got a great voice. Beautiful. And I really feel like this song shows off how good of a singer that he is. Because not an easy song to sing.
No.
If you're a singer, this is not easy to pull off.
It's not. And when you strip things down to bare necessities, like these versions, there's no forgiveness.
No, not at all. It's very, there's not a lot to cover it up if you're not.
No. And the one I put on our playlist is a live version.
Yeah.
Which
is it.
Unbelievable that is a live version, unedited.
So let's hear a little bit of that, right? Let's if no one's ever heard Wicked Game by Stone Sour, here's a little bit of it for you. Just sounds great, man. Hey, really nailed it.
World was on fire and no one could save me but you.
Like, even at low register.
Strange what desire will make foolish people do. And I never dreamed that I'd need somebody like you.
This is a song I've always wanted to hear someone. See, this is like if you do some karaoke, you really gotta be a good singer.
I could give this a go. I really would. Like
you. Yeah, you give it a go.
Yeah.
No, I don't wanna fall in love. No, I don't wanna fall in love.
Here's the lighter.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah. Really, really cool version. Really love it.
Just
totally digging it.
How, like, to expose yourself so naturally in a very edited world. Just props to all of these artists.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you got to have the confidence, man. Like, and this is, I've always said this. And even to my wife and I always say this, like, if you're ever going to cover, like, a Beatles song, like, you really got to have your stuff together. And I know Tina had actually recommended it, and I did. I was the Hide Your Love Away. I think he does a great version of Hide Your Love Away. When you cover a song, like really, really super popular song, and when you do things like the Beatles, like you are like, okay, all right, you're doing a Beatles song. Let me hear you. Let me hear you pull it. Like you got to pull that off, man. You're being super scrutinized at that point. So
it's so true.
And kudos, yeah, to anybody who kind of, I feel like you got to have definitely a certain amount of confidence in yourself to put something out there when it becomes a very beloved song, which means a lot to a lot of people. So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So where do I rate this song? As to our point before, the original five records All Day Long, but where do I put Wicked Game by Stone Sour? I'm going to say this is like a 4.2 record for me.
Oh, which, wow.
A 4.2. I really enjoyed this. I really, really liked the song to begin with. And I appreciated they took the liberties to keep it same enough. Yeah.
I agree too. I mean, I like that they didn't deviate away from the original song, and they just kind of brought their version, and you know, the way Corey Taylor sings it, I think it's a great display of how good of a singer he is. You know, once again, to pull it off. So I really like what they did. They didn't take any big risks with it, but they just nailed it at the same time. Like, agreed. You know, and like Dave is saying, I did not realize the Slipknot connection. Yeah, it's crazy. And I know I've had Amanda's listened and reviewed Slipknot songs on this show before. So I'm sure to like go from the guy who goes crazy during Slipknot to like then hear him like just peel off Wicked Game with a smoothness is pretty indicative of how this guy's range, like where, you know, how he can use his vocals in different styles.
So very, very good. Very, very good. And I'll admit, I've listened to our playlist over and over this weekend for these like six songs. And then it got to the Mad Men trailer.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I was like, oh, go back to the first one. Yeah. Go back to Brandy.
Back to Brandy.
And then I would listen to them again. So like, honestly, this is probably the show that I listen to these songs the most of in all of our seasons. I've just really enjoyed this playlist a lot.
Yeah, it's a nice run of songs. They all fit in really well together. So if you're checking out our playlist, the first six songs, they really go right into each other really well. Yeah. And then if you listen to it in order, then it starts going into last week's show, which is all the TV theme
Man
songs.
Man, Little House on the Prairie.
Magnum P.I.
Roseanne, which I incidentally am like kind of wearing the blanket that goes on the back of her couch. I should have wore it last week.
Yeah, you should have. All right. Well, I will take your 4.2 records for Wicked Game by Stone Sour. So, all right. Your next song to me, this was an interesting cover song. Like, oh, man. I was like, because I'd never heard this. And I was like, how are, like, once again, when you bring this song down raw, like, you can hear the raw song. Yeah. Like, but I really liked this version of When the Doves Cry by Sarah Jarosz.
I'm going to go with that too.
Jarosz. Yep. And this was recorded, the version you sent me was actually recorded live at the Spotify Studios. So this is part of Spotify's singles collection, which they do a lot. They do a lot of these awesome singles collections where people will record things just for Spotify and all that. And I always love that. I think it's great. But this was a very interesting song to listen to. And I actually listening to her background, so I was like, I'd never heard of Sarah Jarosz. Have you heard of her? Did you know of her before hearing this song?
No, I did not.
Okay, really interesting is that she is actually a four-time Grammy Award winner and 10-time nominee, and all that by the age of 30. She started singing as a young girl and became an accomplished multi-instrumentalist by her early teens. After releasing her full-length debut song Up in Her Head at 18 years old, she went on to deliver such critically lauded albums as Follow Me Down, Build Me Up From Bones, and Undercurrent, in addition to joining forces with Sarah Watkins and Ife O'Donovan to form the acclaimed folk trio I'm With Her. Her fifth studio album, World Underground, produced by John Leventhal, went on to win the Grammy Award for Best Americana Album in 2021. She released the Grammy-nominated Blue Heron Suite. So she is definitely in the world of Americana music, which is not a genre I listen to a lot. Mm-hmm. Very acclaimed. Won lots of awards. So really cool. And I'd never heard her before. And so this song was a nice pleasant surprise. And Dave's coming in with saying, you're pronouncing it right, Ja Rose. So, okay, Rose. Thank you, okay. Dave. I appreciate it. I figured Dave might know her because I know Dave listens to a lot of Americana music. And he's saying, I recommend checking out Sarah Jo's Come Around. So I definitely will. So I love this. I thought this version was cool. I will say one thing with this, which is hilarious, because at first when I heard this whole thing, I go, man. And this, I think this happens with a lot of stripped down versions of songs, like the unplugged versions. You go, man, that's a long song. Right?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Because it seems that you don't think about the time when it's recorded a lot of times. It's just moving. You know it so much. It feels like it flies by. But when you take a lot of that out and you strip it down to like, it's, you know, bare bones or rearrange it, you're like, man, that song really goes on for a long time. But the original When Doves Cry is over like 5.5 minutes, almost close to 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. And this version clocks in at 4 minutes and 40 seconds. But I definitely felt like, all right, wow, this song's really long, man. This is like been out for a while. So
fair enough. Even I thought that, because by the end of it, I was like, man, this is said a lot in this song.
I know.
Yeah.
And then I had to go back and go, is the real song, this is the original version this long? And I'm like, oh, the original version is even longer. I mean, and it's just, you're just so captivated by Prince and the way this song is. And you remember the music video to it as well. And
I think and that's the thing. You have a lot of grace for it because you're envisioning things when you're listening. You're just listening. You're not envisioning.
Yeah. So I think that she did a really good job, though, with how her – I got to tell you, what a phenomenal guitar player she is. Because a lot of the things that she's pulled off in the song, just like, I'm like, wait, what was that? Like, that was crazy how she was playing. So let me play a little bit of this, because I think everybody's going to be really blown away by Sarah's playing and her voice. But I don't want to take anything away from her voice. I think her voice is definitely a unique sound. You know, and I think it's what helps separate her, too, from a lot of other artists out there.
And to think that this song can even be unplugged.
That's what I thought too. I'm like, how could this song be unplugged? Like, really cool version.
Dig, if you will, a picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of your body covers me. Can you, my darling, picture this?
I like how she makes
dig if you can
jazzy, very torchy feeling.
An ocean of violets in bloom.
You can't help but like
that. Animal strike, curious poses.
Grab your attention.
You feel the heat between me and how can you just leave me standing alone in a world so cold? Maybe I'm just too demanding. Maybe I'm just like my father. Why do we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like when doves cry.
Yeah, super cool.
How, talk about guts.
Yeah, I mean, to
do Prince.
To do Prince. I'm going to cover Prince. Like, it's exactly. You got to have, once again, confidence. You got to have the chops to pull it off. And I think she clearly demonstrates that. This also, too, remind me of, like, I don't know if you watch or listen to any of the stuff, and I love the videos. Is any of the Scott Bradley Modern Day Jukebox stuff that he does, where they rearrange a lot of very popular songs and rearrange them into almost, like, classic, like, jazz, torchy, like, the videos are phenomenal, and they release versions on Spotify, really. So you would actually love that. Check out Scott Bradley's Music Jukebox, because he does that all the time, and I just, the way he takes these songs and rearranges them into like classic, like jazzy nightclub type stuff is really, really cool. And that's what I got vibes from this, because I like the way she did it and presented the song. Because when you do listen to the song in a way Prince does it, it's just, I know it's covered a lot, and once again, production, layers, guitar, like all that, but if you really listen to the way Prince is doing it, it does have a very jazzy and very bluesy, you know, nightclub-esque feel. So when you kind of strip away all that production and you do it like this, it, for me, that really pops out. Like, I hear that now, where I kind of didn't really always notice it before, but it's really prominent. And I think the way that she does it really calls it out. So there's anything I'm going to say with this song, and it's not necessarily to her fault. It's just that the song is long, but we just talked about that where like I didn't even realize how long the song was until, you know, once again, you take all that stuff away and you kind of make it bare bones. But I think she does a really good job with it. So I'm not going to necessarily count it as a strike. It just is one of those things that you just sort of notice like, okay, I got it. The doves are crying. Like, I got it.
This is what it sounds like. Okay.
This is what it sounds like. Okay. But I do like this version a lot. I think it's very cool. Once again, I think it's another thing that when I'm talking about, like, what am I putting on my Thanksgiving playlist of things that, like, just get you into a vibe, I would add this. Actually, I feel like I'm just going to say I would probably add all these to my Thanksgiving playlist this year. Because I like to switch it up, and I do. I put a lot of jazzy stuff in there. Mm-hmm. I put some folky. Like, I just, you know, it's just that vibe I'm feeling on Thanksgiving, you know? So I would add this in there. So I would definitely, I feel very comfortable giving this a four record. I think this is a four record song for sure. I think her rendition is cool. I like what she did. She's got the chops to pull it off. So well done. Well done. Really cool version.
That. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that four records.
You are welcome.
All right, Chris. I have to say.
Yeah.
Your list was so great. Up until.
I had to do this one because it's just so funny to me.
Your third and final song to me, which was Baby One More Time.
So which you can clearly tell when you hear this that they're like basically laughing as they're doing it.
Okay. Like, oh my gosh. Thank you for admitting that because I was like, they're terrible at this.
Yeah, I mean, Travis is a great band, but this is literally just like there. You can hear them cracking up as they're doing this song. And I just.
Maybe one more time.
Like, it's just, it's like they're completely just like, you know what? We're playing this. We're going to have a good time. And you can hear them having a good time. Okay. You can hear them even when they start doing it, like, still, but. And you actually hear them. Yes. You hear the audience laugh. Like, everybody's just kind of like, you know, having a blast with it. Thank it's almost. God. This version of this song sounds like if you were at a party. And your friends just all picked up guitar and started singing. That's what this is like. Like, okay. We're all hanging out and they're like playing. It's like, hey, let's
do Baby One More Time.
Yeah, let's just do Baby One More Time. And like everybody, you know, all your drunk friends are singing with you and having a good time. That's what this is. That's what this version of this song is like.
God. Okay. The pressure to like go, how am I going to let him down? That I did not like this version.
I didn't think you were, but I took a risk and I was like, you know what? Maybe she'll find it as funny as I do. I don't know.
Okay. When I'm listening to it now, when you're telling me it was allowed to have, they were having fun while doing it, I have a whole different ears now.
Yeah. Okay. It almost sounds like this was like, and it's like live from, what is it? They're at like some place. I don't know if they're at a record store or they're at the Bay Tavern. So there you go. So it's live from the Bay Tavern. So they're actually at a bar, a tavern, and exactly what it's like they're up on stage. They probably played a bunch of songs, came back on and was like, you know what? We're just gonna play this and you hear everybody you know, they're in the pub.
First thing, I don't think I said by Travis. So Baby One More Time by Travis. I just want to say that one more time.
Which is originally done by the one and only Britney Spears. Free Britney. Well, she's free now. She's free now.
Free in a mess. I knew that would happen. As a mother, I'm like, oh, this ain't going to be good.
This is not sure going to be good.
Not, but I didn't want to say that out loud because, like, you know, my good friend Bridget, she's like, always into the movement. And I was like, this ain't going to end well. And it's really not. It's really not.
You need parental supervision.
She really does. Full disclosure, I never, ever have been a fan of Britney.
Mm-hmm. Never a Britney Spears fan.
Never. I always thought she sang like a baby. And I just
baby.
Like I just never really appreciated her as an artist. Didn't really like her music. I thought she just had the look and that's how she got successful. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners and viewers. But I feel like people saw an opportunity and took it with her at her expense.
Mm-hmm.
So I never liked the original and I really just don't like this version either. But now that you told me it was meant to be with fun and out of like just a little bit of laid back, like let's putz around and like just enjoy our audience, and right. it may have been recommended by an audience member.
Somebody may have called it out. They may have said, what do you guys want to hear? And somebody may have said, hey, play Baby One More Time. And they're like, okay.
Okay, we'll give her a go.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's literally like that. Like, that's how.
Yeah, when you set it up like that, to me, I'm like, all right, then good on them. They were having fun with their community. So I'm gonna give it a better rating now that I do that. But like, will you play a little bit of how bad this is?
It is. It's pretty. And
no offense,
it's rough.
Travis, but man, this ain't great.
But it is funny.
I mean, the guitar work is great.
Oh, baby, how was I supposed to know?
Which is funny because it's in Travis style. Like,
something wasn't right here. Oh, baby, I shouldn't have let you go.
I can't.
Now you're out of sight. Show me what you want it to be. Tell me, baby, 'cause I need to know now. Just because my loneliness is killing me. And I must confess, I still believe. If I'm not with you,
I lose
my mind.
Listen, when you get to those parts and you're listening at it, like I was truly listening to it with like real ears.
Right.
And I'm like, this is not good. This is not good. And I'm like, holy smokes. Okay. So originally my rating was a 2 because I was like, this just is terrible. This is just terrible. But now when I listen to it from a more fun standpoint and it wasn't meant to be great, it would be more of a crowd pleaser, you know, they have a few drinks in them. All right, fine. They were just having fun.
Right.
I'll bump it up to a 2.5, but that's as high as I'm willing to go.
2.5, wow.
I'm really sorry.
Almost got a 1 record there.
Listen, it's been a long time since I've given a 2-something record.
It is. I mean, listen, yeah, is it the most amazing? No, it's not like when we talk about the care of you know, that all these other artists put into these songs. It's like Travis just goes in, we're just gonna belt this out. Like, it's a pop, it's a stupid pop song. We're just gonna do it, and they're having fun. They're at a pub, like whatever. And it's
no
literally like
given.
It's the drunk sing along. Yeah, it's and it is what it is. But I wanted to put it on because I just thought it would be really fun to throw it. I think it's a great way to cap my list.
It was fun. And then Dave coming in with, I do like Britney's Toxic, but it sounds better when somebody else sings it. I can't disagree with it. I do feel like there are a lot of like great hits that Britney has sung.
Yeah.
Did Britney make them a hit, or are they just good songs? That would have to be debated. I don't know.
Well, I mean, listen, there's like, Britney is not writing really anything. She's got a whole song. She's got a hit factory behind her of writers.
Yes.
A lot of the songs are written. If there actually was a great documentary on Spotify, on Netflix about like the Swedish, the songwriters, and how like all the biggest hits all came out of Sweden with a lot of the pop bands and all that. So definitely, I got to remember it. I can't remember the name of it. Dave may have seen it, but. But they wrote a lot of the Britney songs, and yeah, I mean, it all begins with a good song, right? And then, you know, obviously Britney has to have some kind of talent. I mean, she pulled it off. She sang it. It was a huge hit. I mean, oftentimes you see like that same song be sung by someone else and it flops, and then someone else takes it and it goes bananas. So, it is what it is, but, the song itself is just fun. It's a fun, stupid ditty, you know?
It was fun.
And Dave's saying, killing me. I love it. All right. So 2.5 records for Travis's version of Baby One More Time.
And I want to be clear. It's only because it's coming up from 2.
Yeah.
Coming up from your 2. Case.
Yeah. Which leads me into your third and final song.
Oh, this one was a risk for me.
Billie Jean. You know, that small, tiny song. It was, I don't know if you know if people remember the song Billie Jean. It was from some underground, like, artist from the 80s. I don't know. I don't know. Hear of Michael Jackson? I don't know. Does anybody know Michael Jackson is? Anyway, they took the song by this unknown, relatively unknown artist and covered it. The band is called The Civil Wars, actually. And a very interesting version of Billie Jean. And this is a song that every time I hear someone else do it, you really hear the darkness in this song.
Oh, for sure.
This is a dark song, man. I mean, once again, when you think about what the song's about. So just to remind everybody what Billie Jean's about, because I think we're all so used to just singing it and not really knowing the song. But this song, according to songfacts.com, is a song about a girl who claimed Jackson was a father of her child. Jackson based it on a woman who used to stalk him, writing him letters about a son she thought was his. Jackson rarely spoke about this woman, but he had a very hard time dealing with this and with the unwanted attention, and became more reclusive as a result. The song was his way of expressing his feelings without addressing her directly. While Jackson did not give any details about the real Billie Jean, his producer Quincy Jones said that Jackson found a woman one day lounging by his pool with a bathing suit and sunglasses on. According to Jones, she accused Jackson of being the father of one of her twins, which Jones thought was pretty funny. He thought it was funny. This song, of course, charted number one all over the world and came off of one of the biggest records of all time, Thriller. So, it's again talking about covering mega popular songs. This is one, though, that has been covered a few times by many artists. And when you strip it down, it is dark, you know. And I think that this band in particular, The Civil Wars, did a really good job with this.
Good. Okay. I wasn't sure what you would think.
It's an interesting version for sure. I had to listen to it a few times to kind of really feel it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely am digging it. I like their interpretation of the song. So for anybody that doesn't know who the Civil Wars were, because they are no longer a band, by the way. They broke up. And by the way, this band, pretty popular, sitting at 1,450,436 listeners, monthly listeners on Spotify. Amazing. So
monthly listeners.
Yeah. We're not talking about like, oh, they've got a couple hundred. Like they have 1.4 million monthly listeners on Spotify. So, but they were an Americana folk and country duo formed around guitarist John Paul White and vocalist Joy Williams. The Civil Wars made a quick name for themselves with the release of a digital album, Live at Eddie's Attic, in 2009, followed by the Poison and Wine EP later that year. The duo partnered with producer Charlie Peacock to begin recording a full-length album in 2010. The result, Barton Hollow, was released in February of 2011, topping the digital charts and cracking Billboard's top 20 during its first week. And then basically what happened is the band broke up after they released their 2013, which was a soundtrack to the movie A Place at the Table. So they worked with actually famous producer T-Bone Burnett on that one. And then they produced a new full-length studio album, self-titled The Civil Wars, which was released at the end of the summer of 2013. Although it debuted at number one, earned strong reviews, it proved to be their last. White and Williams issued a statement in August of 2014 stating that they had regretfully decided to permanently part ways. So, no longer making music, but have left behind a body of work that apparently resonates with a lot of people. And this version of Billie Jean is their number two most listened to song on Spotify, according to Spotify, with 109,000. Oh, sorry. No, I take that back. 109 million
nice.
Listens. 109,484,683 listens on Spotify.
That surpasses Ryan Adams' count for Wonderwall. That's impressive.
So, their number one song, by the way, has got 147 million, which is Poison and Wine. So,
outstanding.
If anybody's ever heard this band before, the Civil Wars, they're a huge, apparently, in the Americana folk world. I have personally never heard of them, but as I've stated, Americana folk is not a genre I listen to consistently, so I don't know a lot of the bigger artists. But I will say that this version, listening to this version, is enough to make me say I'd like to check out some of their other songs because I do find them very interesting. So let me play a little bit of their version of Billie Jean. Let's check this out.
She said, I'm the one.
yet another very torchy, jazzy sounding, but very twangy in the vocals.
She told me her name was Billie Jean, and she calls the same. Then every hair turned with eyes dreamed of being the one.
I think her vocals are crucial.
On the floor. No, her harmonizing with him is really good.
People always told me, be careful what you do.
I nailed this.
No more around breaking young girls' hearts.
No.
And mama always told me, be careful who you love. Be careful what you do. The lie becomes the truth. She just a girl who claims that
I am the one. Really good.
So good.
Yeah, so check out the Civil War's version of Billie Jean, which once again is available on our Spotify playlist where you can hear all these songs in their entirety. So I really found their version to be very interesting. Super jazzy, very stripped down, very raw. I actually, when I listen to this song, especially in headphones, it literally sounds like they walked into a room, like walked into like a living room or maybe even like a bathroom type of thing and go, let's just hit play on the record on the recorder and let's go. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like there's like two mics in a room and they just hit record and went. And I you know me, I love that. Like I just always find that fascinating. Now I'm sure I don't thought that was the case. That's the made up vision in my mind. That's in my head. Yeah. But I like that sound and I like this version. I think it's very good. And also I like that they just once again put their stamp on it. They didn't rearrange it too much, like not really. But I like the way they're playing the guitar with a lot of like the plucking and the like keeping a percussion, using guitar as percussion. Her vocals are outstanding. I agree with you, Amanda. I think her vocals make the song. Him by himself, he's got a great voice, but
for sure.
Her coming in and layering, which is probably why this band is so popular, because they actually their voices together create a very unique sound.
So good.
So with all that being said, I'm actually gonna give this a pretty good rating because I like that they took a chance and leaned into certain things, and I feel like it paid off for them. So I'm gonna give this a 4.3.
Nice, thank you.
This was my favorite of all your songs, just from a rendition standpoint. I found it the most interesting out of all the songs. Their rendition just was very cool. Very cool to hear.
I figured you would like Brandy. Like I kind of figured you would be fine with it.
Yeah, and Brandy was fun. It's a fun, cute version of the song.
It landed exactly kind of where I thought you were going to make it land.
Yeah.
But really, When Doves Cry and Billie Jean, I was like, all right, I'm going in on a risk on this one.
Yeah. No, and I like that you took a risk on those. I'd never heard either of those versions. But I mean, I really didn't hear any of the versions that you gave me this week. So that was the artists themselves. I'd never heard of the artists. So I really enjoyed it. I mean, I thought it was a great playlist and I enjoyed listening to it. And like I said, I'm going to put these on my Thanksgiving playlist because I think these will be cool to have on throughout the day. And I can see like, you know, my family being like, oh, what version is that? That's interesting.
I think it's going to be a talking point. I think it will grab people's attention and go, what am I listening to? Like, it's a pleasant like pop of what?
Right. So when you're in Pressed Rose and you have the playlist on and then Travis's Hit Me Baby One More Time comes on.
Maybe not Travis's Hit Me Baby One More Time, but the other five, I think people, because they're very laid back, they are good shopping music.
Right.
And I do think people would be paying attention too, because it's just so different. Mm-hmm. So all six of these songs this week, we did not know the artist. Each other did not know the artist. And we had never heard the rendition of that particular cover. Right. So for that alone, this has been a successful episode of the Chris and Amanda Song Swap Showdown.
Absolutely. Very successful. So Amanda, I'm not even going to do the math. You won this week's episode.
I did. But really not by much. I did the math. I did the mathing behind the scenes. So yeah. I came in at 12.1. You have a 10.5. So really like it was.
Amanda is the winner of this week's Song Stop Children.
Of Unplugged.
Yes. The winner of Unplugged versions of songs.
Which makes me happy because I love this type of music. This is my lane of like the Americana, the folky, the acoustic sound. I just love all of it so much. So I would have been disappointed in myself if I did not win. Not that we really keep score like outside of the scoring.
No, but you know, it's fun in a moment.
For sure.
It's fun in a moment. All right. So with that, everybody, it is now time to pick next week's show theme where we will select songs.
Yes.
So Amanda, what time is it?
It is time for the Wheel of Show Theme. Spin that baby.
It is time to spin the wheel.
And this wheel has not disappointed the last few times. So I have complete confidence it's going to do its thing. And next week is going to be another amazing episode.
That's right. And then just so everybody knows, too, coming up, we'll be making that announcement soon, is we will be doing probably a special, probably right after Thanksgiving, we're going to do a special holiday edition where we'll just, you know, we'll probably come on like live during like a Saturday or something. That's how we did last time for a Halloween one. We'll spin the wheel so we can pick the month of December's Halloween, holiday, winter holiday music themes for the entire month. So.
So send your suggestions in now.
Yes, we will put that in. We will post that in the Facebook group so you can put your suggestions in. But for now, we are picking next week's theme. Where's it going to land? So many great opportunities. So many great song themes. Let's do it. Let's spin the wheel and see what we've got.
Look at all those suggestions.
So many suggestions.
Ooh, exciting.
You gotta love this one. I just got my license driving jams suggested by community member Angel. Love it.
So am I allowed, let's just for clarification purposes, am I allowed to put Merry Christmas Darling on that?
Right away with the, so you literally, I'm 17, I just got my license, and your first song you're popping into your car is Merry Christmas Darling?
Do you
at
know?
At 17?
Yes. My junior year, my best friend for Christmas got me the Carpenter's Christmas Portrait CD. I had to put it in, you know, the little CD player that you put into the, like, the cassette tape thingamabob.
Right. All right. So.
So yeah.
Listen, you guys let us know. I mean, if that's what you want to listen to in your car when you first get your license, then you know what?
I can't.
Have at it. Although I've heard that song before.
It's true. Yes, it probably won't be on there. But yeah, that is what I was jamming to. So I got my license. Let's drive jams. Let's do
That's right. So what is the playlist that you are listening to? Man, I don't even remember what the heck I was listening. I mean, I know what I was listening to, but I think I was probably so darn scared to drive the first time by myself. I probably didn't have the radio. I probably had the radio off. I was like,
no kidding. So everyone's going to need to take a trip down memory lane. Remember what it feels like to get behind the license as you're pulling away from your house for the very first time in your car. Yeah. Listening to the music.
To the music.
Only Just Begun.
Yeah. New Wave Dave coming in with Amanda's only just begun to drive on the top of the world. I love it, Dave. Yeah. So basically, so the next week's theme is I just got my driver's license playlist. So what songs are you cranking out in your car, 17-year-old version of yourself, after just getting your driver's license and you have the freedom of driving wherever the heck you want, the absolute freedom of owning your own vehicle or driving a vehicle, having that driver's license, you go wherever you want, the mall, the arcade, the city, I don't know, wherever.
Wherever. And you know what I'm going to love? Rink. the roller rink. Yeah, drive myself down to that.
Yeah.
What I love about this, when you put the suggestion in our group, and everybody puts their suggestions for what it's going to be such a personal list for them. I love, I'm going to love to read what their three are, because it's going to show kind of maybe their age, what they were doing at that time. It's going to really disclose a lot. I'm really excited to see everyone's.
I mean, I definitely remember the feeling. I mean, I remember the feeling I got when I got, and I don't want to go too, because I want to save it for the show, but I remember the feeling I got when I got my driver's license. And
I
did get my driver's license on my first try. I didn't have to go back. I managed to pass my driver's test the first time. So I was fortunate with that. Thank God.
You know, and I might share the story about the one time I tried to outrun a cop.
You gotta save that. Save it for next week's show.
I'll have to. Oh, good. I'll be at my office next Monday, so I won't have to say it in front of Owen.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't want to talk about it in front of him.
Amanda's real life Smokey and a Bandit story.
My butt should have went in jail. I can just tell you that. At 17.
I can't wait to hear this. All right.
I'm sweating just thinking about it. Yeah.
Listen, everybody. Next week's show is a can't miss episode. For that alone.
Watch out, bro.
Oh, man. Whew. All right, everybody. Well, hey, thank you all so much for hanging out with us today. What an amazing show. Thank you, Dave, New Wave Dave Mattingly, for checking in. Ian from Australia. Mark Roddick, thank you so much. James Scott, thank you. And everybody else who was watching us live today. And if you didn't comment, totally fine. And if you're checking us out on demand on YouTube, which, you know, hit that subscribe button, smash that bell, hit the share, all the things, do all that. We are so close right now to 4,000 subscribers on YouTube as of the recording of the show. So please hit that subscribe button if you feel like that you want to get notified every single time we drop new episodes of the show or video clips, which you can see all there on YouTube. Also, anywhere you get podcasts, you can listen to us on the go, take us on the go, or if you're outside raking leaves, you know, putting up holiday decorations like Amanda was just doing, like so many people are going to be doing, throw us on your headphones, check out a version of the show. We have 3 seasons of episodes, everything there. So we hope to enjoy us. And if you do like what you hear and you want to go a step further, feel free to leave us a tip over at buymeacoffee.com/songswapshowdown. That link is in the QR code or in our show notes below. With all that being said, Amanda, any final words?
Just
our
2. 1, don't feel like you can't even give us a dollar at Buy Us a Coffee. We love dollars. We love quarters. Bring on any amount of change, please. And then 2, just to clarify for Dave, he's coming in saying, so is next week driving songs or driving songs when I was at 17? So basically new driver, freshly licensed driver. You're pulling out of the driveway for the very first time. What are you listening to?
Got my license. I can legally drive. Passed the test. Got my license. What's the songs on the radio? What are you popping into the cassette deck, the 8-track, your CD player, any of those things? Yeah,
all the things.
Those songs. So, all right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We do appreciate you, and we will see you next week on another episode of Chris and Amanda's Song Swap Showdown. See you guys.
Bye, everyone.
Get notified every single time we drop a new episode of Chris and Amanda's Song Swap Showdown. Just hit that follow button wherever you get your podcasts. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor of the show, please use the email address in our show notes and we'll get right back to you. And last but not least, please feel free to follow us over on our social accounts on Instagram and TikTok at Song Swap Showdown, or join our ever-growing community in our Facebook group by using the link in our show notes. Thanks for listening.